Today is Thursday, March the 21st, 2024, and welcome to episode 88 of Rural Reliance with Katie Couple. I'm Julia.
And I'm Aaron.
We're a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day to be less dependent on outside sources, merging homesteading and frugality.
Yeah.
And today we want to talk about why and how to homestead. And this is a hard one.
It is, and I know we have some homestead listeners already, but we have some people coming from a frugality standpoint as well. So we thought this would be something to get into of why we think you should homestead and how you should start homesteading.
Absolutely. Don't fall for traps that we fell for ourselves.
Yes.
We fell for some really big things. We had great big eyes and did not actually look at what we were really doing. We were looking at end picture, and the end picture wasn't actually the end picture we are going for now. It's a totally different end picture.
It's like one of those drawings of this, you know, farmland or something. That's the one we thought, and then there's another one on this side that's completely different, and that's what we were really going for.
Absolutely. So, why you should homestead, everybody has a different reason. Everyone has a different reason.
Yeah.
I would say when we first jumped on homesteading, we were looking as a way to cut costs.
We were. Or...
And to be more self-sufficient.
Well, to basically have a constant fruit supply, because we saw how much fruit was going up. We saw how much we were paying for fruit and berries, and we were like, let's just grow it all ourselves.
Yep. And we already had really good berry production on our property. Mm-hmm. We had wild raspberries, wild blackberries. We also had some mature apple trees that
produce some blueberries.
And blueberries. So we just thought, why not expand on this? Why not grow this out? No, we thought we were doing it frugally, and we were not. That's a different story. Totally different story. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Some different reasons why you might want to consider homesteading. So it does give you a different relationship with nature. And that sounds very hippy-dippy.
I know when we were talking about our notes for this one, I was like, you know, that in there, I was like, it's going to make it sound very hippie.
But it does get you closer to your food source, your land. And you look at your property differently.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like, okay, what am I doing with this piece of property? What all do I
not... What potential do I have here?
Well, even that, what all has been done to it before? What kind of chemicals are going to hit here? You know, maybe you're beside, you know, got a piece of land right beside the road, and you're like, well, state's going to spray that, or near power lines, you're like, I can't do anything with that, or I don't want to put anything there because it's going to be contaminated.
So all these things are part of it. You learn your property, you learn your land. If you have a big piece of property, it's harder to do.
Yeah.
We know because we tried to utilize different parts of our property and ended up getting way over our heads. And wasting a lot of money that way. So instead, we're really focused on one area right now. The rest of the property is long-term future projects, if that ever happens, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's long-term. It's not anywhere in the next 5 years. We have too much other stuff to work on.
That is probably true. You know, for us, the other pieces of the land have to have more transportation back and forth.
More transportation, because it's not a big deal to walk over there to do a project right now, but to get materials, anything of that nature, it becomes a chore. And it's not readily seen from the house or anything like that, whereas the other projects we're looking at, we could see it. It's right here. Yeah. We can get to it. It's not going to be hard to get to if we get really bad weather, things of that nature. So you get a different relationship with nature.
Mm-hmm.
You start paying attention to, when is it going to rain?
When's the wind going to blow?
When's the wind going to blow?
You know,
I mentioned this on my podcast. I think it comes out next one. I'm more worried about wind than snow. Wind is more dangerous. It's taking down barns. We can handle snow.
Well,
If the power goes out, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but I am more usually worried about wind, but I'm worried about those pine trees and the snow.
Yes, yes, he is. But we're working on that. So eventually that's going to be less of a worry. But for right now, it is a worry because there are deep branches. But I don't think there's anything that could, like, what it would take out, would it be, like, 100% detrimental to us at the moment? We could deal with it. Wind blowing roofs off, wind blowing down barns. Wind is a bigger concern. And we get more wind than we do snow.
That's true now.
And so it's just something we have to be considerate of. So you look at things so much differently. And your relationship with the world around you just changes. So if you're looking for a close relationship to get to know your property better, homesteading might be an option.
That's true.
I mentioned it, touched on it a bit of it, but food, you know where it comes from. You do not know what chemicals are putting on your food, what is considered organic and certified organic.
Well, what's in some of your food if you're not even reading the ingredients? Like, you know, if you're talking about lettuce or something, you think about what's on it. But if you're talking about
rice
or...
I was like, rice is just rice. No, 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 no. There's a word you have to look out for. And I learned that this last week. And I'm like, crap.
Enriched.
Crap. It's on everything. Everything is enriched. How do you strip the nutrients out of rice? What process are you using that strips the nutrients out of rice?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I think that's what I told Aaron when we saw that. I was like, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
How is it this hard? But the food, you know where it comes from.
You know what's been put on it.
I don't care if you, when you use seven dust, you decided that. Somebody else did not make that decision. You did. Your choice.
Yep.
You get to make that call. We're not going to use seven dust. Our favorite way to get rid of bugs is to take a broom and knock them off. In all reality, that's our favorite way.
That is true. I mean, in all honesty.
And it was always tater bugs. The rest of it, I might pull them off here or there, but not really. Because once we started putting things up on trellises. The trellises, we've not had a huge bug problem. Knock on wood.
Hope that's real wood.
I hope it's real wood. So you get to know your food. You get to know where it comes from. It's more natural, especially if you're preserving. I know for us, we would buy tomatoes for the first few years of homesteading.
And I about guarantee something's been put on those at the local farm. Just saying.
Now, I would clean them. You clean them. You do all you can, but do you really get it all off? I never can those with the skins on. Ever.
That's true.
My tomatoes.
You have.
I have. Now, this is not Rebel canning, and this is just me canning. So, you don't send me a million comments about why you should not do this. I made this choice. I'm comfortable with it, and I'm good. So, please, just understand. This is my personal choice. So, and it's worked out really well for us. But only on our tomatoes. Nothing's on them. Like, we didn't fertilize at all last year. Except for one time in the beginning. And that was it. And when we fertilize, we do use a natural fertilizer. And we're hoping to get away from even that, just using chicken compost and duck waste and all of this other stuff that we can get.
Totally agree.
It is quieter. You have less of a... Well, depending on what animals you got. If you got a guinea fowl, you're probably going to have some noise.
That's true. And let's say, where are you homesteading at?
Where are you homesteading?
You know, if you're homesteading in an urban, suburban area.
Well, I mean, the lifestyle is quieter.
It is.
The lifestyle in general.
Right. It is more, you're usually more rural.
You're more of a home buddy.
Right. Right.
You can homestead anywhere, but you tend to be somebody who wants to be at home more often, who doesn't want to deal with the bustle. Like, going to the nightclubs is not something...
It's not something for homesteaders, usually.
We usually see or do. Like, I've never been to one. I don't even have you. I mean,
no.
We've never been to one. It's just not, the nightlife doesn't appease us. We don't go to movies. We wait for it to come out. We can just rent it on the TV because it's easier. the cheaper for us in the long run. You just have a simpler lifestyle. You really do. Not easier, just simpler. And that's what we prefer. We prefer that quiet. And I feel like there's so much less drama.
There is.
So much less drama. That doesn't mean there's not drama on the homestead. There's always something happening. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody runs into something. You know, something's not working right. But that's drama that you could fix, not like personal drama, at least for our experience. You get such a sense of fulfillment.
You do. So when you have that garden, an amazing garden, you're producing so much food, fulfillment. When you've completed a big project on the homestead, you get a really big sense of fulfillment as well.
I've been having that. I've been finishing up a lot of things.
She's been working hard.
I've been working hard. And it is just like in like an hour and a half a day, whenever I can squeeze it in and it's pretty, I've been getting out there and getting a lot done. And we've been making some big progress. And even though these projects seem very small, it's a huge amount of progress for us in the long run.
It is. You get a different sense of joy for completing stuff on your homestead.
You because preserving your food.
Right. And you know most of the time, hey, what's coming next from all of this?
Absolutely. I know working on those berry vines, it's going to give us more berries in the long run. Now, this year, some of those vines might not produce as much. Next year, the same, because I have to get the dead canes out. That's a next year project. Not a this year project. This year was more of a
contain.
Get them contained. Get them out of other vines. Get it to where we can actually get to everything. And that's, I accomplished that. I did clean up our black raspberries really heavy.
Really heavy.
And we know there's going to be a small crop.
Right. But we were to the point where wild blackberries were trying to overtake them.
They were overtaking them. They looked like trees.
It was true.
We were worried. I couldn't even cut them out. We thought we were going to have to get the heavy-duty pruning shears that are electric to get to cut these things out. They were so thick and so heavy. And it took 3 days for me in this little bitty patch because it had just gotten so out of hand.
Right.
And so we know we're going to have a smaller crop, but we're going to have healthier crops as we keep maintaining and managing these. And you feel better. You feel better. You know what's coming. You have to know this is not easy.
It's not.
It's work.
Right. It's going to require a lot of hard work. It's not going to be something you can sit back and watch TV all day. It's going to be something you're going to have to go out, do your chores, do cleanup, do building for next year. You know, something like that is always going on.
I don't get to take a nap when the baby does. It doesn't matter that I'm tired. I don't get to take a nap. I have to go deer-proof our tater patch. Build Aaron a door, because that's what he asked for.
Yeah.
So, that's what I was doing. I'm exhausted, but that job had to be done.
It did.
And that's what it is. You do the jobs that need to be done. You're constantly working, and that list never goes away. And it never ends.
No. I mean, it might be a smaller list, you know, after you've done it for a few years.
We were just saying, we got a piece of property, we're not going to be able to know what to do with it for 5 years. Well,
if we weren't doing that, for example, right. You know, it'd be like, you know, trimming up berry vines, you know, removing old canes, you know, stuff like that before the garden season, not building the tater patch, putting fencing up, you know, not those type of things happen. Shouldn't happen every year.
No, they should. But you do have to maintain. You have to make sure your fencing's on. Everything's good. You're having to double check it to make sure any animals, you want to kind of protect those. It's what we're doing now. We're just trying to make sure the deer can't get in, create that barrier. You are always going to be learning something new. New way to do things.
Or you want to.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, you know, somebody new comes up with, something new revolutionary-wise, you know, of how to do something, you know.
Learn that process, that skill.
If you tried to explain zones and permaculture to an 89-year-old farmer,
they'd look at you like you were nuts. I couldn't do it to my mom, and I love my mom. Don't get me wrong. But this is not the world. Like, she grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
That's what she did. Like, even your dad. If you try to tell your dad,
yeah.
they would look at us like we're nuts. And it's like, well, you did it. You probably applied these very same principles.
You just didn't realize it.
You didn't know it. Now there's words to those principles. Mm. And they don't see that.
That is very true.
So, because, yeah, you normally didn't have your chicken coop, you know, where you had to drive to it.
Nope. It would be in walking distance of the house.
It'd be a walking distance of the house. It's what it was. It's behind the house.
Yeah.
It's behind the house. That's where you see them around here. They're behind the house. Almost right behind the house. Like off the back porch, 3 feet, you're there.
Enough where when you hear something getting into the chicken house, you can get to them.
Yes. Yes. You would hear it out your bedroom door.
Yep.
And the bedroom normally had a back door.
Yep.
So you could get out there, and that's where you would go check chickens for eggs. I mean, so they already knew their chickens needed to be a zone 1, zone 2 for them. But if we start talking zones, they're going to look at us like we're nuts. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay. That's the world we live in now. And we don't take everything we learn and think it's the gospel.
No.
We apply to our situation, and that's the other thing here. You make it work for you. The way it works for other people doesn't work the same for everybody.
No, you don't need to model your homestead after, for example, a YouTuber or something like that. You know,
us. Don't model after us.
No, you know, think what's going to work best for you. You know, if you pull some, you know, cool little tidbits here and there from everybody, hey, that's good. You know, maybe it's something you can, you know, come up with some great new process for.
I don't do my seed starting the ways I learned when I was learning the seed starting process.
That's true.
I do in a way that works for me. And every year I change something to make my process better.
Yeah.
And I'm making it work for us. And because of that, my seed starting process has gotten better and better and better as we went on.
It has.
So with this comes like the core. You have some core reasons for joining into this of why you want a homestead. And that's going to be sustainability, security, and community. And all of these come together.
They do. And you can even put self-reliance in there too.
Yeah. Well, that's what it all leads up to.
It is.
It is. So you are able to sustain some of your needs. You're able to cut your dependence on a grocery store and all of these things. We know what it's like to be dependent on grocery stores. The majority of our world is dependent on a grocery store. It is.
I bet in today's society, in, let's say, first world nations, because you get into some of the others that might bring the percentage up, I bet it's like 98% or something now.
I'd probably say 80.
Leave down in the comments below what you think.
We don't know this number. I feel like 98's awful high.
Well, think about it, though. How many people are in cities now? How many are actually their own food?
But you're thinking our area. There's a lot of movement moving back towards homesteading. That is becoming a bit... It's becoming... I don't want to use the word I want to
it's
use.
It's trending.
It's trending. That's the word.
This conversation the other day.
We did. It is trending. And it's becoming popular and like a club. But you see all these people moving back towards it. Not in our area. Because our area wants to move as far away from that because we are rural. You see that more like in our area where it's kind of poor. Mm. Not as many jobs. They don't want to do what they had to do before. They like the convenience. And that's cool. That's cool. Like, you do you. We're going to do us. Yep. We want to grow our own food. But it's become very trendy. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing. A lot more people are doing it than you think. Security. So there's no better security than knowing you have the ability to get to your own food.
Or produce food. Bad times. Hey, what happened in the Great Depression? The ones that did the best are the ones that grew their own food.
I mean, grow your own. community. So you do get this sense of community. And this is where Aaron and I probably struggle the best, because we kind of feel like we're out on a ledge, out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And no one around us wants to do this. And we've tried to find groups and tried to go to places. But when you're working 9 to 5,
that really
hinders your ability to go to places and find people.
Well,
who are your people?
Well, I think in our area, one of the biggest thing is nothing's open on a weekend.
They aren't.
So they're open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
And Aaron has to work. He's my person to go and meet, talk to these people.
If we
depend on, you're more than I am.
Well.
I'm the one in the back. I'm okay with the baby walking me around the store. Aaron will be the one to go and talk to people. He's a lot better at it than I am. Out of nowhere, it's really hard, especially if you're introverted, and we are. We know this. We're cool with it. But most people have more of a sense of community in this world. It does feel good. Even virtually, you feel a sense of community with these people. Okay, so how?
So that's some reasons why to homestead. So let's talk about how you should start homesteading.
So first we're going to say you can homestead anywhere. You can start learning the skills. You can start doing what needs to be done.
So I'm going to use an example. Green Acres. So when he started farming, he was farming on his terrace in his New York penthouse. So,
well, now they have better setups. You can actually grow quite a bit of food. There are actually things
they sell, you know, for this type
like
of stuff.
Like tower now. Setups mm-hmm. that you could grow all your salad greens, your radishes, microgreens are a good one you could grow.
Or you can do hydroponics indoors.
Well, they even have the towers now.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that you rent. I would not go that route as a frugal person.
No.
But you could create one or just go ahead and straight out buy it. Like, we are totally okay with that kind of an investment. Look at your power consumption and see if it really makes sense for you. But they do have hydroponic systems, like tall systems that are space saving if you're in a small place that you could get. And they were introduced like last year.
Yeah.
Weren't they? They're very interesting.
Yeah. So there's lots, you know.
Green stock if you have a terrace. That's a good one because it's tall.
That's true. And they're made in the USA in Knoxville, Tennessee.
And they're big. They're so, look, we've seen the Dollar Tree ones. And they're okay, but they ain't nothing compared to these green stocks. Like, they are worth the investment. If you hit the right sale, you can get 2 for the price of 1.
Yeah, and they usually run these throughout the year around holidays.
Yep. If you buy directly from them, so definitely look at that. But you can do this anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, for full homesteading, the chickens, the animals, anything that you're going to need some property.
Right. I mean, you don't necessarily need 20 acres. You know, a couple of acres.
1 acre is ideal.
You know, can get a lot of food production. You can have chickens. You can have quail, rabbits, you know, anything like that. And have lots of food production on the homestead.
Now, if that isn't your jam and you're okay building up this massive container garden system on your apartment and in a room in your apartment, your living room and off your terrace, hey, that's cool too. I would still call you a homesteader. You're growing your own food. You're finding ways to be self-sustainable. You're putting it away. You're doing all the things you need to do that are at the foundations. But for the most part, most people who are really jumping into this,
gonna need more land.
Gonna need a little bit more property because you want more. Because what you're looking for is that perennial growth. That's what we lean towards. We lean towards perennials all day long.
Right. And we do that because we look at it from a perspective of you're not buying that again.
Yes. Plant once and you're done.
Exactly. You know, something that's going to produce 10 years, 20 years, 40 years.
And I can propagate it.
That's the other thing.
I want the ability. And that's something that I look at now. And these are things we did not look at when we started. I would not have all the trees we have. We talked about this with Toil Man and Tim. I would not.
Yeah.
I would have.
You'd want more berries.
We would have went more berries.
We could have been selling. We could have probably been sustaining ourselves just selling berries now.
If we didn't have that route.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just because how much berries go for.
Well, and that in our land really produces berries very, very mm-hmm. well. So that is something that we have to talk about and look at. Like, okay, if we keep having trees that, you know, we do want a few trees that produce. We need some more apples. We need
some more apples.
And we need pears. And we need peaches. These are like three big ones for us.
Yeah.
These are the ones we really, really like the most. If I could get a plum cut, I would be very happy. If you've never had a plum cot, try to find one. They're really amazing. Good. It's a plum and an apricot mix, but it's not devastating. But if we keep having rows of trees that die, I'm really tempted to put a berry vine out through there because they just grow so well for us. And the more production we can get, right now we're producing enough for us.
Yeah.
But we could sell. I mean, we could start selling, and that's an easy sell in our area.
It is.
Go slow. Harp on this.
Make sure to don't go too fast. Don't plan out your homestead for this year. Plan out your homestead when you're 70, 80. You know, what do you want in place and where all do you want it at?
I saw somebody make a post saying, I'm pregnant and we're moving to this new property and I want a greenhouse, garden, and chicken coop all in this area and I want to be able to entertain, but I need to do this cheap and fast before this baby comes. It's like, how do I do this? And everybody's telling this lady to slow down. It's like, honey, it doesn't happen like that.
No.
Unless you have the money to put up front to have it done for you. Or to do it.
That is
true. If you have the money and the time, and it sounds like she didn't have either.
Well, maybe not the time. How about the money to pay somebody to do it?
The money to pay it.
Would be the only way that could be possible.
I mean, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. Because, materials aren't cheap anymore. Well,
that type of stuff that you're asking for, you're going to have to find like a landscaper that would probably want to do it on the weekends, you know. It's not going to be something.
Well, or a builder, because you're going to have a greenhouse the chicken coop built as well.
You have to find, you know, a unique skill set for some of that stuff.
Well, not even that. The payment. You're probably going to be paying 30 some bucks an hour for one per person.
Per person.
Per person. That's us. That's in our area.
Yeah.
It's probably cheaper. You go to some big cities, you're probably paying closer to double to triple that. And that was what we were paying. We were paying almost close to 40.
Yeah.
So, there's just something to consider. Go slow. It's okay. Delayed gratification is not a bad thing.
It's perfectly okay.
You're going to appreciate it more. You're going to have a more of a sense of fulfillment. Like, man, yeah, this took me a long time to do. But that's okay. Yeah. I got it done. Yeah. It is okay. Embrace that. We're actually going to do a podcast on delayed gratification in the coming weeks, months. And we hope you tune in for that because I feel like it's so underrated.
It is.
So, go slow. Learn. Plan. Build.
Yep.
These are all important. Budget. 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 Budget.
As we hit on this so often, you know, don't, like, just like at one before. You're not going to have the money to spend, you know, to do all that right then. You're going to have to budget this stuff into place. Okay, I'm going to save up money for a greenhouse, you know, this year. Next year, save up money to build maybe a chicken coop, you know, something like that. Depends on what your priorities are first. Make sure you're always taking into consideration the cost of your homestead.
Yes, you want to do materials costs. You have to understand a lot of these things fluctuate. If lumber quadruples in price, you might be shifting your priority because we have seen it triple in price.
We have.
We're hoping that it keeps dropping, but I think right now it's kind of stayed. It's stayed pretty stable.
2x4s have. There's a person on Nicole and Jack's MeWe that always in Tennessee, not too far from us, always post up the lumber prices each week. And I'm always checking to see what he says the lumber prices were at Home Depot.
There's a big drop.
I think they were $3.38 this week is what I think.
There's a big drop to like under $2. We've already set aside cash to make an order.
Exactly.
So The other part of budgeting is we understand people will probably have to go into debt to buy their property for a mortgage. Well, we get that. You want to try to get out of debt as fast as possible. That gives you so much extra freedom on the homestead, so much freedom in your life.
Yeah, but you need to save up for a good down payment. You know, you don't want to, you know, go in with it with a $1,000 down payment, for example.
Yeah, you have to have your costs covered. If you're selling your home to buy rural property, that's, you know, also use that equity to take care of what you need to, things of that nature. We're not real estate brokers, we're not real estate agents, but just try to avoid going in as deep as possible. Like, don't go buy the 90, 100-acre piece of property with no house on it that's $1 million. Or property that's straight up and down that's $500,000. And
that leads into the next one is go see, if you're looking for property, go see what it looks like. Do not go buy a place just based on pictures. Because these people that sell in these pieces of land are not going to show you the bad things about a property. They're just going to show you the highlights. And here's a good example. Okay, they take pictures when the sun's shining.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, when it rains, the section of the property floods. Did you know about that? Well, it might not have been listed anywhere in the list.
That might be the perfect section for a garden.
Exactly, which ruins your whole plan for what you saw picture-wise. Another one is... the house, go and inspect it. You know, in your area, you might have something that, you know, hey, I wouldn't call this a bathroom, for example, but somehow in this listing, they're calling it a bathroom. You know, so that's a good example. So always go and, you know, research your area and, you know, even what's around it. Like, hey, it might look like this place is out in the middle of nowhere, but looking right across the street, there's a neighbor. It looks right through your bedroom window or something. You know, you've got to go do your research and look at the property yourself.
And we're not telling you not to go buy, not to have your dream. Just make sure you know your dream.
Exactly.
For us, we have a bit of property. I wish we had less. But it's hard to figure out what we want to do.
Well,
the way our property is.
Like, hey, next door neighbors this way like to have their field. You know, we could have uses for that. But, you know, our piece of property that's straight down with woods, that's hard to find something to do with.
It is. It's very difficult. And it's where sometimes having like 5 acres of property, you have more of an ability to manage and figure out exactly what you want to do and make all of it useful to you. Because we have property that's never going to be useful to us because of the way it is, the way it's set up. We're trying to make the most with what we have because we have it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's paid for. We're not going nowhere.
Right.
We're not going back into debt. But just, you know, shooting for the stars is wonderful, but we're going to be a heavy dose of reality for you. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It just doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense financially, it just doesn't. You can't take 2 + 2 and make 5.
Yeah.
2 + 2 = 4 every time. Every time. And I hate to be the one to say that to you.
That's a good one there.
But it is. So there's some financial realities you have to face and you have to work within them. And then you can build your dream homestead there. Don't build your dream homestead before you have found the right place that's within your budget, within your range.
Yeah.
Build your homestead when you have the place. That's when you do it. Don't put it all in your head and say, this is what I want, and this is what it's got to be, and I need to have this white house with the tin roof, and I need to have a cellar and all these things. The perfect piece of property might have a brick house that's a ranch style, and it has carpet, and an old kitchen that has to be remodeled, and it's wonky, and it has a fireplace in the basement. You can fix it.
Yep.
Ask me how I know. But you deal with it and you make it work. And you make it work for you and your family. We're proof that you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
The next thing, if you are looking at moving, especially outside of a state or even your current state, if you're not currently homesteading, we've talked about this before, but it's so important.
Know the laws of the state, the county, the area you're going to. For example, here's a great example that they were trying to do recently in another county over from us was limiting the amount of chickens you could have.
You couldn't have a rooster.
Couldn't have a rooster. Hey, if you had plans to build a chicken farm, for example, or, you know, sell eggs on the side.
Or a gruyere meat birds.
You know, this could ruin all of that for you. So you've got to be, you've got to look into, you know, what all is on the laws, what you can build, what you can't build, what the state is telling you you can do, you can't do, just so you know when you get there. Because if you put up a place that's got 100 chickens, you know somebody's going to come knocking at your door.
Well, they went so far as to say, like, where you could have your chicken coop.
Right.
It had to be a certain place away. And this many ways.
No free range.
No free range. Like, and not a lot of people. Like, we can't free range. We've talked about predators. This. We have a really bad predator problem. They're gone. Like, free range chickens are gone in our area. And it is what it is. But this area, I don't think that was such an issue.
No.
But they're telling them they have to be in a coop. That coop has to be this far away from a home.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in the back. It can't be seen by the front. All of these, it was a long list of rules.
It was crazy.
A minimal amount of chickens.
I think it was five hens.
Five or six hens.
Yeah.
Which, if they're only doing an egg a day, and if you're like a two-person family, okay, five hens is not bad. But if you're more than that, and you eat, I can eat three eggs on a Saturday morning, five chickens isn't going to go very far for me.
So, I mean, you've got to look into, you know, hey, is this area you're going into somehow under an HOA or something where you can't even put a rain barrel up in front of your house, you know, type of something.
These are all things you gotta look at. Or a lot of times HOAs don't even allow gardening and things like that. They are very strict.
True.
So if you're looking into homesteading, you're trying to get away from an HOA.
Right. You're getting as far away as possible.
You're getting away. You don't want any part about that.
But I mean, there could be, hey, this piece of property's at the end of a cul-de-sac. You thought from the pictures, oh, I'm away from people. Wait, I'm in a cul-de-sac in an HOA, I'm in trouble because I can't do anything I want to do.
I think you would know HOA by the time you started the process. They think they'd have to list that. We don't know because we would never look at it.
We won't never.
Never look at an HOA. It gives you hives just thinking about it. The horror stories.
It does. Oh. Especially ham radio stuff. Like every time I'm reading in one of the groups are like, I'm trying to figure out how to hide my antenna so the HOA doesn't know that I have an antenna and I'm transmitting. And I'm trying to find a way to put it in the attic or, you know, put it on a flagpole so that they can't notice it. And
it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And that's like a huge security thing because ham radio is a communication tool.
Ah, exactly.
And it's a very good communication tool. It's really one that but it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Exactly.
So this next one is don't jump onto homestead, you know, trends without fully vetting them for your family and doing an analysis to see if it works for you. We have almost jumped into this.
Goats.
Sheep, mini Jersey cows. I still think rabbits would be good. I still think rabbits would be a good meat source, but I've got a husband who raised rabbits when he was little, and then I have a little one who's obsessed with her buddy rabbits. So I don't think I'm ever going to get meat for him.
I was going to say, I don't know if you need to worry about me as much as the little one anymore.
We like bunnies. There would probably be some issues there, but, you know, for us, we almost jumped on these bandwagons because they were trendy and they, you know, were these homestead, you know, you have to have these on your homestead. They're going to give you so much more joy and enrichment. I'm like, okay. Well, we really looked at it. We were making a decision. Like, we were looking at it. I was like, let's make a decision. We have to narrow down what we wanted. Do we want to put pigs in? Do we want, what do we want? We were open to anything.
A lot of it went down to...
What do we eat?
What do we eat? And who's take... How long can it go without somebody, taking care of it, for example? You know, hey, if we got milk and goats, you know... We somebody's gonna have to milk those goats if we're gone for a couple of days.
Exactly. So if we're, you know, going to a yard sale or something like that, if we're away from the homestead for a day, because we typically do our trips in a day.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like going out every few days to do something. We're out for a whole day getting it all done at once.
Yeah.
Is how we typically do these things. And it just... When we made our list and we analyzed and we looked at the cost and what really made sense for us, these did not make sense.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking with Tommy and Tim, and he's like, okay, you're looking at a cow. What do you look at? Look at everything. How much is it going to cost to feed them in the summer, in the winter? Have to have shelter, have to rotate fields. So then we have to have fencing, good fencing, because we have to make sure they can't get out. And predators.
Right. So like if we were discussing a miniature one right now, okay, you're not going to use the same type of fencing you would use for a large cow. You're going to have more strands down at a lower level.
Well, we still have to have something up high because we'd have to be worried about bears, because we have seen bears in our area. We have to be concerned about coyotes and all of these other animals and predators that we have to think of. And not only that, where it is, we wouldn't be able to see it every single day because of the rotation. All these things have to be taken into consideration. And we look at them, we write that list, we analyze, and we didn't do what was trending. We did what was right for us. Homesteading is about what is right for you and your family.
Exactly.
Nobody else. My opinion doesn't mean crap on your homestead.
No.
Nobody's does. It matters what's best for you and your family. That's all that matters. For our family, having pigs, cows, while we eat a little bit of beef, we eat some pork.
More cost effective
for me to buy it.
Yep.
Yes, so you have anything else to say about that?
No, you covered that really good.
I'm very passionate because I've almost jumped on these trends, and I feel like in the past years something has clicked for me. Like, I don't really care what you're doing. I feel like I've seen a lot of people who are in this homesteading realm that they're not on YouTube as homesteaders, but they're in this realm, and they're like, well, now we're getting rid of this animal because we found out that it's really not useful for us. So we're also getting rid of this because it's not cost effective and it doesn't do anything for your homestead. And that's kind of how I'm looking, like, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't do what you did.
Yep.
I'm so glad I didn't do what you did. We eat turkey. We eat duck. We eat chicken.
We eat poultry.
We eat poultry. Quail might be an option for us, even though we have more property. I have been looking at quail because they're such a fast turnaround, and they don't require a lot of effort. And that's one that I have looked at because for us, that would be a good way to fill my freezer.
Yeah.
And they're quick. That'd be a quick, you know, little part of the thing. I hate to be that every animal deserves the absolute best life. They do. But as homesteaders, we grow our food to eat it, and animals are the same way. I have to keep myself detached from my food source, or I'm going to be one of those people that's like, oh no, well, I love it so much and I can't let it go. I don't want to raise pets. We're kind of trying to step away from that.
Yeah.
And it's hard, and it's going to be hard, and I'm not going to say I'm going to be this cold and detached. I will be in tears. I will be the one crying. But I'll get used to it, and I'll deal with it, and we'll come across that hurdle, and I know what I'm doing is best for my family.
I totally agree.
Anything so any else? Final thoughts? I think I'm good.
No, I think
I've talked too much.
I was going to say, you covered everything there. the only final thoughts I have is, you know, see if homesteading is right for you.
Even pieces and parts.
Right. Even if you can implement small things, you know, learning about how to garden.
A small hydroponic system in your kitchen. You can buy the little ones. I actually bought
the arrows, like garden ones.
I bought Aaron one to do with the little one.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that. It's a start. Anything else? Okay, if you got any comments, questions, you know, you can leave those down below or send them to thekennycouple@yahoo.com. Make sure to go over and check out our link tree, which has all of our other content. And
as always, thank you for joining us on Rural Reliance with Kenny Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.